The title of the sermon is The Ministry of Angels. The Ministry of Angels. The first text I reference is Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. But to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Matthew 8 and 10. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And finally, Psalm 91, 11 and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Effie Elinardo tells the story of a bus trip to Los Angeles in the mid-1960s for a job interview. She had arrived at the Los Angeles bus terminal just before dawn, and it was 5 hours before her interview was going to begin. It was her first time to be in the big city of Los Angeles, and she was excited. So she decided to take a stroll in the early pre-dawn hours. She decided to take a stroll in the community surrounding the bus terminal. As she walked through the tangle of the streets, she realized in just a short time that she was lost. Not only did she realize that she was lost, but she realized that she was in a very rough, dangerous Skid Row neighborhood. Hearing a car pass, she turned, and in the flash of the headlights of the car, she saw three men lurking behind her in the shadows, trying to keep out of sight. Trembling with fear, Effie did what she always did when she needed help. She bowed her head and she began to pray and ask God to rescue her. When she looked up, a fourth man was walking right toward her in the dark. "Dear God," she cried, "I'm surrounded." She was so frightened. It took her just a few seconds, though, as she looked at the man walking toward her. Even in the darkness, it seems like she could see him so clearly and so plainly. He was dressed in an immaculate work shirt and in denim pants. He carried a lunchbox. He was about 30 years old. He was well over 6 feet tall. And as Effie tells his story, his face seemed to be beautiful, which is kind of unusual for a description of a man. She ran right up to him. She said, "I'm lost. And some men are following me. And I took a walk from the bus depot and I'm so scared." He looked at her and he smiled. And he said, "Come with me. You'll be okay. I'll take you to safety." She felt his calm strength as she was walking with him. And she said to him, she said, "I prayed just before you came. I was praying for God to help me, and I don't know what would have happened if you hadn't come along." He looked at her and he said, "I do. I know what would have happened. But we're nearing the bus depot now, and you'll be safe. It's okay." "Oh, thank you so much," she said. "Thank you so much." She was so full of gratitude for his help in being there. He nodded at her and smiled again and said, "You're welcome, Effie." She went inside the bus depot lobby and suddenly it hit her. She had never introduced herself to him. She had never told him her name was Effie. She whirled and burst back out on the sidewalk to ask him how he knew her name. And he had disappeared. He had vanished. He was gone. It was like he was there the one moment, and he was just gone. Effie Elinardo would tell you that without a doubt, that early morning in Los Angeles, that God had sent a guardian angel to protect her and to help her. An angel or angels are mentioned 373 times in the Word of God. It's exciting to think about God's heavenly host of angels. We really know very little about them, except we know that God created them. We know their dwelling place is heaven. We know there's thousands of them. We know that they praise and they worship God. We know that they serve as messengers. They serve as deliverers. They serve as protectors. They minister. One scripture even references that the angels carry the souls of the righteous into heaven. We're going to break it down and look at it a little bit today, with the first point being an angel that you don't always think of in a positive way, and that's the angel Lucifer. Lucifer. Lucifer, of course, is a fallen angel. That's point number one. In fact, in Isaiah 14, we have this scripture for you on the PowerPoint, Isaiah 14. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. In fact, Jude 6 confirms this. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Lucifer wanted to exalt his throne above the stars of God. He wanted to be greater than or equal to God. In fact, Jesus said in Luke's gospel, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. By the way, the name Lucifer means shining one. But we know this, he is a deceiver. As the fact the Bible tells us, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of what? An angel of light. He's deceiving folks today, isn't he? But I want to tell you today, he is a defeated enemy. He's defeated. We have victory over Satan by the power of the blood of Jesus. We have victory over Satan by the power of Jesus' name. We have victory over Satan because of our position as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. The second point today, we look at messenger angels. Gabriel. Gabriel did a lot of great things, and he brought many different messages. In fact, he's mentioned five times in the Bible. In fact, Gabriel appeared to Daniel twice to help him understand the vision that God had given him, the vision, the prophetic vision. Gabriel appeared to Zacharias to give him the news that his wife Elizabeth would have a baby, a boy that would be named John, a baby that would be filled with the Holy Spirit while he was still in his mother's womb. And he would grow up to be a man that would make the way for the Messiah, make a way for the Lord. Gabriel also appeared to Mary to tell her she would, by a miracle as a virgin, have a son named Jesus who would be called Son of the Most High. Angels appeared to Abraham to tell him of his birth, the birth of his son Isaac, and later to tell him about the destruction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, in Genesis chapter 18, the Bible tells us that the angels had the appearance of men. It says that they ate bread and they ate butter and veal that Abraham had given them. Gideon was also another one visited by a messenger angel, an angel of the Lord that commanded the judges to save Israel from the Midianites. An angel also appeared to Cornelius. Beautiful story. Angel appears to Cornelius. Told him to send to Peter. Told him how to find Peter. Asked him to come back to his home, so that his household could be shown the way of salvation. An angel foretold of the birth of Samson when he appeared and spoke to Manoah and his wife. All these examples of messenger angels delivering messages from the throne of God to ordinary folks just like you and me. Third point this morning is ministering angels. Ministering angels, the Bible gives examples of angels that were sent to minister to folks that are discouraged, that are in danger or folks that are in despair. You remember the story of Elijah? He had incredible miracles and victories. And the power of God had been shown through his ministry, through his prophecy. And God was with him despite all those great victories and miracles and the power of God. All it took for Elijah to get discouraged was for Jezebel to begin making threats. And suddenly he was full of fear and he ran and he hid. The Bible says that an angel came to minister to him. That the angel came and baked him a cake and gave him a jar of water. But it was supernatural cake. It was supernatural water because the Bible says that Elijah went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights. That is some kind of cake. Now, Sherry makes some really good cakes. I love them. I can just think about it. If she made her triple layer Italian cream cake, and I could slice that into 40 pieces. I might make it 40 days and nights, but I wouldn't be climbing Mount Horeb in the process. You know what I'm saying? But Elijah did. He had such great strength, he even went to the mountain of God, Mount Horeb. What an incredible thing. When Jesus resisted Satan after he had fasted, he was in the wilderness. The Bible says that, behold, angels came and ministered to him. I can just see it in heaven. God says, who wants to go and minister to my son Jesus? And every angel in heaven lifted their hand and said, me, Lord. Oh, let me go. Don't you know the angels counted it an incredible honor to be one of those chosen to come down to this earth and minister to the Son of God, our Savior Jesus, to minister to him and to strengthen him. What an honor it must have been. What a joy. Can't you just see it? Can't you just see those angels tenderly and lovingly ministering to Jesus? When Jesus was praying in great agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. So we've looked at messenger angels. We've looked at biblical examples of ministering angels. I want us to look at the fourth point today, which is protecting angels. Two angels came to Sodom and stayed at Lot's home. Most of you remember this story. The Bible says when they came into Lot's home that they ate unleavened bread. They were in the appearance of men. It also tells us that the evil men of Sodom, the evil in their hearts was so great that they tried to break down the door of Lot's home so that those men in Sodom could come inside and grab those visitors and have homosexual relations with those men. But the angels, according to the Word of God, the angels struck them at the door with blindness. And then the angels led Lot and his family out of the city. And remember, they gave specific instructions. Don't look back. This idea of looking back would be to long for that place that was full of sin and evil. Instead of looking back, God wanted them to look forward to what was ahead, the good things ahead of them. But as you well know, the Bible tells us that Lot's wife did look back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. That story always reminds me of one time when Sherry was driving, she looked back, and she turned into a telephone pole. She did. She did. Sherry likes it. An angel appeared in the lion's den with Daniel, didn't he? And he shut the mouth of that angel, didn't he? See, an angel appeared to Peter when he was in prison. He cast off the chains. Miraculously, the iron gate that led to the prison opened, and he walked Peter right out into the safety of the streets and then left him. Paul's ship was tossed by the sea in a raging storm, and all on that ship thought they were going to die. But the Word says that an angel appeared to Paul and said, don't be afraid. Everybody on this ship is going to be saved. We've looked at in biblical examples of angels appearing as ordinary men, eating food, visiting with those that they were sent to help. I believe, possibly, that angels may come in different forms and in different ways that we could never imagine. In fact, let me tell you an example of that in this true story of a mangy angel. Esther Vaught, her husband, pastored a small church in a farming community, and Reverend Vaught had to go away to Detroit for a few days for a general conference. And Esther had just come home one evening on a Thursday night because it was their weekly Women's Missionary Society meeting. And she came home into the parsonage. Her children, with their older son, was there. In fact, as she walked in the door, her older son was still sitting at the kitchen table doing his homework. It was a cold, rainy night in March. And as she looked down to see her son sitting at the kitchen table, she noticed that their large, mangy dog named Brownie was stretched out on the kitchen floor right beside her son. Now, this dog, Brownie, this dog was just a large, messy-looking dog of undetermined breeding, and he had just wandered up to the parsonage one day and decided to stay, just decided to adopt his family. He adopted them, and he was fiercely protective of the whole family. Yet as much as he loved the family, he never wanted to be in the house. In fact, it seemed as if he had a tragic fear of being indoors. If he was ever in the house, he would run from window to window and door to door, crying and barking until they let him out. It was like he was claustrophobic of being inside. But on this cold, rainy night, there is Brownie stretched out on the kitchen floor beside their son doing his homework. Well, her son went to bed, the other children had gone to bed, and Esther tried to put Brownie out. But as she tried to put him out, this dog wouldn't budge. She coaxed, she pushed, she even got some raw meat to try to tempt him to go out the door. He wouldn't get up, he wouldn't move, he was staying there, asleep. So she just left him sleeping on the kitchen floor. But before she went to bed, she walked down the stairs into the basement to bolt the door in the basement that went to the outside. And seeing that all the children were in bed, then she herself went ahead and went to bed. Well, the next morning, Brownie reverted to his old nature. Suddenly, he's desperate in a panic to get out the door. It's like suddenly the fear is just overtaking him again, and he's just got to get out of that house, and they let him out. After Esther Vaught let Brownie out, she walked back down the steps into the basement to light the furnace. And when she got down in the basement, she found that the door that she had bolted shut when she went to bed was standing wide open. She looked around. The windows were all closed and locked. No one was there. And she realized that someone had gone out of that basement during the night. Apparently, whoever had gone out that door had been hiding in the basement when she went down in the basement to lock that door. He apparently heard Esther's unsuccessful attempts to put Brownie out. And so whoever was in that basement knew that he had to come up those steps through that kitchen where Brownie was, and he would have to face that dog or go out the door that he'd come in earlier. And obviously he chose to go out that door. This smelly stray pooch somehow had known God had used him to keep the family safe. Esther Vaught would tell you that she'd always believed that God has a definite work for his holy angels. And she believed that night that the scripture in Hebrews 1:14 was true. And they, angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who should be heirs of salvation? But you see, this ministering spirit had taken a particular form that cold, rainy night. Instead of a dazzling, white-winged, glorious angel, the Lord had given their guardian angel four stubborn, mangy paws. But Esther would tell you, if she was here, that God had protected their family that night through that angel. Finally, the fifth thing we look at today is angels in the end time. Two angels, we know this story well. Two angels were at the empty tomb in shining garments, and they told Mary, "He is not here, he is risen." Angels, two angels in white garments were present. As Jesus ascended into heaven, the Bible says, the angel said to his followers, This same Jesus who was taken up for you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. A great message by those two angels. It's a message that we embrace today. It's a message that says Jesus is coming back. Amen. When Christ returns, the Bible tells us, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Yes. Let me just explain this. At the end of the period of the great tribulation, when Jesus prepared to come back to this earth, we're already in heaven with Jesus because he's taken us up to heaven. At that event, we refer to as the rapture, the catching away of the bride of Christ before the beginning of the tribulation. So at the end of that tribulation, this verse is referencing that it's now time for Jesus to literally, physically come back to this earth to defeat the Antichrist and the false prophet, to lock up Satan for 1,000 years and set up his millennial kingdom on this earth. And this verse is saying that when the Son of Man is ready to come in great power and glory, he's bringing you and me with him. And listen, we're all over heaven having such a great time, enjoying fellowship with those that are up in heaven and just enjoying being with the Lord, that he's got to send his angels to the four corners of heaven to tell us, come on, it's time, come with me. I'm coming back down to this earth and you're coming with me. Amen. Can't you just imagine we're up in heaven and hear all these angels are everywhere saying, come on, it's time. Jesus is ready. Come on, let's go. Let's go. And we gather with him. We all come back to this earth with Jesus. Oh, what a blessed hope we have. I'll tell you it. As we worship, as we work, as we wait for the coming of the Lord, that he is coming back for us. I will tell you, we have nothing to fear according to the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 34 and verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. The heavens and the cosmos are filled with angels keeping and ministering and protecting and delivering and guarding God's children. The Word of God tells us that. Psalm 91 that we read earlier, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. Finally, this morning, this story about Helen Porter. Helen Porter was a little 3-year-old girl. When she was 3 years old, she fell into her grandparents' small but very deep ornamental fish pond. Her parents came running when they heard her shriek and cry for help. And when they ran around the corner, they found her standing, dripping wet, on the flagstone sidewalk and pavement that surrounded the pond. And she was about 20 feet from the pond itself. And she's standing there dripping wet, water dripping down all over the pavement. And yet all of that sandstone pavement around that pool was completely dry. There were no footsteps. There were no wet footprints. It was just all dry except her standing 20 feet away, dripping wet. They couldn't imagine. Helen's mother grabbed her, took her up in her arms, and as little Helen snuggled up next to her mother asked her, said, Helen, what happened? She says, Mommy, I fell in. And her mother says, but how did you get out? And sobbing, she said, Mommy, it was someone in white. Someone in white pulled me out. Then he was gone. And Helen Porter's mother would tell you she knew that day that a guardian angel had appeared at just the right time to pull her little 3-year-old daughter out of the jaws of death in that pond and set her 20 foot away on that flagstone, safe. Please hear me this morning. We do not worship angels. We do not give praise to angels. We worship and we give praise to the one who created them. We worship and we give praise to the one who sends them to meet our needs. Oh. And he sends them in ways and times and places we may not even recognize or even understand or even know. But he does it to help us. That's the kind of loving Father we have. Amen. What a Savior God has given us. What a blessed people we are. God's promises are yea and amen. They are true. And I hold on to his promises. Don't you today? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful understanding that you provide us in the Word of God regarding your ministering angels, your guarding angels, your protecting angels, your helping angels. God, we should just pause today, and there's so many ways beyond even angels that you're with us and protect and keep us and love us and show us how precious we are to you, just as we would our own children that we love. Oh, thank you, Father, for that concern, that care, that protection. We praise you. We thank you today. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed this morning, and you're here. And Jesus is not your Savior. You don't have that hope of heaven. You don't have that hope of someday when you stand before the throne of God, of knowing that he'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You're not sure that if you were to die today, that your destination would be heaven. You don't have to remain uncertain. You can leave this place this morning with a great certainty of hope and faith in Christ as your Savior. If you're not sure, would you just lift your hand this morning and say, "Pastor, pray for me. Please pray for me. I want that confidence. I want that certainty that Christ is my Savior." If that's your heart's cry, would you lift your hand this morning? Anyone here today? Anyone? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you today for Jesus, for salvation. I thank you for the hope of heaven. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the eternal, wonderful blessings that await all of us who put our faith and trust in you. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and we thank you. Amen and amen. Would you please stand with me today? Thank you so much for being with us in worship. I will have to confess to you today, Sherry and I were leaving home to come to church, and we'd already knew several people had contacted us that were traveling and out of town and sick and weren't going to be with us. And, you know, pastors, especially a church our size, we keep track of that all just right up here. We pretty well know. And I told Sherry, what did I say when we were leaving? I said, "Well, it's going to be one of those really low summer crowds. The rain's out there, and it's just going to be a low crowd." And I look out today, and I'm thanking God that, again, we have faithful folks, faithful to the house of God. Thank you for your faithfulness to the place of worship. Thank you for your faithfulness to come to this place and lift up the name of Jesus and to worship our Savior. I just want to say thank you today. If you're looking for a church home, we would love you to consider Heritage Church. It'd be our honor if you become a member. You get those great big quarterly dividend checks. It's just wonderful. So we just invite you to prayerfully consider making Heritage your church home. It would be a great honor to have you. Brother Coy Watkins, would you close us out in prayer, sir?